Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another fine edition of Plank of the Week. We are already now in the month of July. We've got some great news coming from Boris Johnson. We've got unlocking stuff all over the place. And I'm delighted to tell you, you will be very pleased to know, that we've got the old firm back in town. It's Kevin O'Sullivan and, of course, Dawn Neeson, the pair that kept us going for so many months through the pandemic and through the lockdowns of the early part of this year. I had to separate them briefly for a while, obviously because of, what can only be described as health and safety reasons. I thought they might start punching each other.
It's actually unrequited passion, to be honest with you, Kevin.
Imagine my delight to have you back.
We kept the show going to the extent that we couldn't stand the sight of each other.
Despite that, they're back together, possibly for the final time.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
We shall see. But Dawn, I feel as though I should offer you the first opportunity.
I'm going to nominate Kevin O'Sullivan.
Yay! Yes. Hey. I win.
Yeah,
every week. Plank of the week, every week.
There you go.
Give him the plank.
That's it. Absolutely right.
I'm going to start with the biggie of the week.
Yes.
Sage. And the Brothers Grimm.
Yes.
I'm throwing them all in together
They're all in it together.
Yep, they have an opportunity to give us the best news they've ever given us during this entire pandemic in a press conference. And what do?
They ruin it.
But they make it more miserable than going to someone's funeral, which obviously we might even be allowed to do now.
Right.
It's like rather than, give us the good news. 19th of July, Freedom Day. Get out there. Hug people.
Yeah.
Take your mask off.
Well, I think that was great, wasn't it?
It was great, Mike. But then they make it so downbeat.
But you know what the problem is as well? Because they stage all the questions. They're from members of the press or members of the public. Whitty starts banging on about how and under what circumstances he would wear a mask.
Yeah, absolutely. And the worst
when
bit.
He's in the park so people don't beat him up.
This is why I felt, being a girl,
they are good for your safety, Chris.
This is why I thought that I would not nominate him personally on the grounds that people have a go at him. What really annoyed me so much so that I wanted to punch the TV, not the man, was the fact that he said, I'm going to wear a mask if people around me feel uncomfortable if I'm not wearing one.
Exactly.
That is ridiculous.
I said earlier on today, what if I feel uncomfortable about you being in charge of our public health?
Yeah.
I feel a bit uncomfortable about that. Would you resign, please?
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks very much anyway.
Funny enough, I feel quite uncomfortable when everyone is wearing masks.
Yes.
Then getting too close to me.
Yeah.
People have this idea that masks are the be-all and end-all. They're not.
Mm.
Most scientists will agree that the masks that most of us are wearing, the fashion masks and bandanas, are completely and utterly pointless.
Yeah, exactly.
They achieve nothing. They don't protect you. They don't protect anyone else.
But now the word is out, of course, that they make you feel as if you're doing the right thing.
Because we've now got
the mask kind of debate going
Brexit.
On. The new Brexit.
It is the new Brexit. Yeah.
Did you see that tweet from George Monbiot, the bloke from The Guardian? Wearing a mask is now the new defiance.
Yeah,
it's just like,
get out of your bedroom once in a while, mate.
It's extreme compliance, little tweet.
It is, isn't it? It's like, and all these people that are hurling abuse at non-mask wearers, i.e. you're selfish and you're not doing
Brexiteer, bigot, racist.
You know what? Yeah, the only one I'm surprised at is no one's actually said you're
racist.
Oh,
they will.
I'm trying to work, there must be a link, Kevin, between not wearing a mask and being a racist. There has to be a link.
No, it's just automatic for those people. If they see you not wearing a mask, they'll go racist.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So don't you care about old people?
Yeah, I know.
You care about old people.
Yeah. So, any case, I've been wearing a mask for 10 days now. For
have you not?
No, I've got my little exemption badge.
Well done.
Yep, and I've been, and you know what? No one's dared mess with me.
No. So, I mean, I think already the evaporation of these rules has already happened.
But there is, it's like the announcement today about August the 16th, where if you're double jabbed, you don't have to isolate. And it's like, well, the virus is going to be able to tell the time, and it's like the date, and it's like the 15th of August, well, right? Okay.
Why does it have to be another month?
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Well,
if you're double vaccinated now, why not do it now?
I know. And also, I don't approve of that, because that sets, there's your divided society right there. People have got every right to refuse to have the vaccine. So, if we get to a point where
it's not even about that. You shouldn't be refusing to have it. You should be just not opting to have it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a refusal,
okay,
is it?
But they have every right not to have their legal and human right not to have the vaccine. So, if we get to the point where if you can prove double vaccination, you don't have to self-isolate. Mm. What about the people who haven't had the vaccination? They will have to self-isolate, and there you have a very divisive
indeed. You do.
It's wrong. It's wrong.
And there are some people that are genuinely cannot have the vaccine for medical reasons.
What
are they going to do? But you can't lock down society for that.
No, here's what we do, is we cancel self-isolation.
Yes.
It's crazy.
There's no point to it. Yeah. I mean, at the moment, it is completely crippling our school system, right? They've got more than 500,000 kids now off school. And there's definitely something going on. And a lot of it could be down to the fact that the kids are just absenting themselves because of this test that they're faking.
Well, you can cheat.
And they're making it. Yeah, but I mean, if you were a 15-year-old boy and you didn't fancy going to school this week,
what would you do?
What would you do? Yeah, go, oh, look, I've got a positive test.
Kate Middles has given it to the whole of Wimbledon. The cricket, we're screwed in the cricket because they're all off.
I did
now.
Like the Mail's headline today, Isolatey Katie. I thought that was
very good. Yeah, that's quite
clever. Very good. I gave them full marks.
With the kids thing, right, being sent home from school, how can they have a bubble of an entire year group, like 100 kids?
Well, there's schools
where
my kids live in Sussex that are completely closed. They've closed the whole school, right? Unbelievable. Nobody can go to the school, despite the fact that they might have only had maybe one positive test, which might not even be right. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Madness. And to be fair to the teachers, who I think are very coronaphobic anyway, but these are the rules at the moment. It's the government's got to change the bloody rules and let kids.
Well, this is where they've finally done the right thing. They've finally done the right thing, recognising, as Sajid Javid said, that he's the Secretary of State for Health. Not the Secretary of State for COVID.
No, absolutely.
That was a great quote.
He's actually hit the ground running.
And clearly, watching Whitty and Valance with Boris the other day, they clearly weren't very happy about what his decision has finally become.
Well, it was
Also, what about the questions, eh? Beth Rigby asking if it was reckless. Really, Beth?
Yeah.
Come on. You know, do you
just
remember?
Just go and have another party.
Have another party. Don't worry about how many people you hug.
Or wearing a mask.
Don't worry about what the rules are. I actually don't criticise her.
Hit the town with Kay.
It was slightly hypocritical.
I mean, I don't criticise people for going out and having a good time, because good for them. But, you know, don't tell everybody else that you're being reckless after you've been suspended from your own job.
I know. And
for 3 months.
All the journalists ask exactly the same question is, don't you think we're being reckless? Shouldn't we all be locked down and wearing masks until October, November, December?
And now I think it was ITN's correspondent who said, how bad do you expect it to get? I mean, what sort of question is that? How bad do you... Well, don't expect it to get bad at all, actually.
But do we think, boys...
Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it.
Quite. Do we think, boys, that this is it now?
Romilly Weeks, that was, I think.
Yeah. Do we think this is it? Because Sage, my reason for nominating them is the proviso, but this could be temporary.
Well, no, they've said that within weeks we might have to reimpose restrictions. Yeah. So that's on their assumption that they're in charge of the country. Boris Johnson has clearly made a decision in partnership with the new health secretary that they're
and
not going to rule the roost anymore.
No, exactly, because they've all agreed.
So they're not in charge.
And I thought Boris made a very good point when he said, look, you'd have to lift these restrictions at some point. So at any given point, and actually his logic is quite good, that it's a good idea to do it while the schools are off,
absolutely,
while the summer holidays are on.
Absolutely.
And I think he will, after that is done, he will make a very good case in the future for never doing it again.
I never want to hear from anyone in Sage ever again, to be honest with you.
What I can never understand is why all these lockdown fans don't understand that if you have a lockdown and then you come out of lockdown and then a month later you have to go back into lockdown, it means the first lockdown didn't work.
Yes.
All lockdowns do is delay the inevitable.
Exactly.
They do not stop the
virus. And that's what they've now worked out.
But we can't do it anymore.
And because also they've worked out that numbers of infections are not now equally having increased numbers of people dying. It's actually a good thing.
That link is actually a good thing. So, but I mean, my favourite Sage professor is Susan Michie of University College London.
You mean,
our favourite, our personal
Stalin's
favourite.
Nanny.
Exactly. Yeah.
She got all shirty with Richard Madeley.
Oh God, that was great. Brilliant. Richard. Yeah. Richard Madeley was
apparently
brilliant.
Apparently, he said to her on Good Morning Britain, "Do you think that your affiliation with the Communist Party is driving your political agenda?"
Yeah.
And she said, "I don't have a political agenda." She refused to answer the question.
Didn't. Oh, yeah,
she got very shirty.
Richard.
Yeah,
Richard
very good.
Was great
well
on that.
Well done, Richard.
But when she was
the reverse of a plank.
When she was
week.
Questioned, she said that maybe we need to wear masks forever.
Yeah. Well, I'd be quite. I'm quite happy if she kept one on.
Yeah.
No problem there.
Isn't that sexist?
Yeah, on a number
yes.
of levels.
No, it's not. It's communistist.
But I can still,
actually,
even though she's wearing a mask, I can still hear her. I just don't want to hear her again.
You say that, but when you go into, I mean, if I go into restaurants where maybe there's a bit of music playing, and they come over into your table, it's getting a bit noisy.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear them.
No.
No, I don't think I'm short of, what's it called?
Short of
hard
hearing.
Of hearing.
Hard of hearing.
Hard of hearing, yeah. Whatever that
short
is.
Short of hearing.
Short of breath is what I am, and hard of hearing. When you get to my age, you can't remember which is which.
You've got a sobbing card, mate.
Well, listen, that's not the sort of talk we want on this show. It's a family show. Stop it immediately. Now, but you can't hear them mumbling, and you can't read their lips because you can't see their lips. And it's like, I'm sorry.
And that's where you have to break all the social distance and get really close.
Oh, sorry, do you mind taking your mask off so I can actually see what you're saying to me?
I mean, I don't know what Susan Massey, what on earth is she doing as a government advisor? She's a lifelong member of the Communist Party. Shouldn't they have one or two questions? And I've asked various other doctors on the radio, just said, well, do you think it's like, you know, commensurate with being a government advisor that you're a lifelong fanatical member of the Communist Party? They said, how dare you impugn her medical
But she's also, she's only a behavioural scientist.
She's a behavioural scientist.
She's not she knows about as much about doctors
as I do.
She's
a psychologist.
But you've got, on the other hand, you've got Dr. Mike Tilsley, member of the Scientific Pandemic Influenza Group Modelling, which provides data to the likes of Susan Michie, saying that July 19th, probably the right time, we're going to have to remove them, seeing really low numbers and talking a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think they should just sack Sage and just say cheerio.
Yeah.
You know, when if we want you, we'll give you a call.
Well, perish the thought. We all use our common sense to make decisions about our own health.
I know. Absolutely shocking.
Any case, planks.
Planks, absolutely
good to be
right.
Back,
Sage,
it?
It is good. Kevin, who's your first?
My first is the new Labour MP for Batley and Spen, Kim Leadbeater.
Oh, yes.
The triumphant Labour candidate who won by 300...
Well, you say triumphant.
Well, she won by 323 votes, successfully avoiding throughout that disgusting campaign, ever confronting the major issue in that constituency, and that is the shocking plight of that poor Batley and Grammar School teacher who remains in hiding 4 months after the local Muslim mob decided they should issue a fatwa on him and he must be sacked because he had the temerity
and beheaded.
To teach his kids about blasphemy in a religious education lesson. Now, unbeknownst to most people, in the last week, the school has exonerated him from doing anything wrong and said he can come back to do his job. However, he remains in hiding because he's terrified for his life and for the life of his wife and his children. And what other people don't also realise is the entire religious education department of Batley Grammar School have left the school in terror.
So
there are two other teachers who left as well because the Muslims do not like what they're teaching.
Unbelievable.
This is a freedom of speech issue. Leadbeater never mentioned it. In fairness to her, nor did the Tories. It was an act of tremendous political cowardice by both of the main candidates. And when at one point an angry mob all virtually pinned Kim to the wall and said, what are you going to do about the teacher? Mm. She said, well, it's his own decision.
Yeah.
That
it's
was
a
all she
for
said.
Him.
And
it's
now
a matter
she,
for
as
him.
To whether he gets beheaded or not, that's why he's in hiding.
It's a matter for him. He's made his own decision. Well, now she's in Parliament and she represents him. If she doesn't do anything about it, I'm going to make her life a nightmare night after night on talk radio. And I think we all should.
Well,
because it's her job
she should
to look after his interests.
Well, she actually mentioned Palestine more than she mentioned poor man and his family.
Well, she didn't mention that poor man and his family.
She was questioned on it. She did.
No, she didn't. She didn't. She said one thing about it.
He's in hiding.
Yeah, but this is what I was saying to someone the other day, that, you know, isn't it a very odd state of affairs that we have a by-election in Britain in 2021 and the big issues are Palestine and Kashmir?
Yeah.
Because Keir Starmer, who may appear later in the show, came out and said, oh, isn't it great that we won because of hope? Isn't it great that we won because of everything except hate? She was putting out posters with the Indian Prime Minister's face on it, meeting Boris Johnson, because she knew, as all the Labour supporters knew, that that would enrage the Muslim community to such an extent that they wouldn't vote Conservative because they hate the Indians. Mm. I mean, what sort of nonsense is that?
She's now in Parliament. She kind of punched the air when she marched into the chamber today. If she doesn't do anything for that teacher, then she is the political coward of the county.
And just remind me how successful Labour actually were. How many votes did they actually manage to lose?
Well, they reduced it by a factor of 10. Yeah. They went from 3,500 to 3,500, effectively.
Yeah. Success, is it?
Well, I mean, it was extrapolated to me that if they had had the same swing to the Tories in the national election, they'd lose another 11 seats.
Yep.
Keir Starmer calls that a victory.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
And she only won by 323 votes because of Matt Hancock.
Yes.
Otherwise, she would have lost.
Yeah.
I know. So that's somebody else's, Anyway, that's enough about him. I'm going to go. Might as well stick with Keir Starmer while we're on the subject.
I was going to
carry him over, but I think actually because of his activities, I'm going to have to make him properly officially available for number one, two, or three. Because first of all, Saturday night, I don't know whether you saw his tweets. I mean, he was doing loads of tweets before the game on Friday and Thursday. He's trying to sort of, garner this whole kind of, nationalistic support, sense of, kids coming home. And, I mean, the guy just doesn't really get it.
Yeah.
He doesn't, I mean, even though he plays football and his supporters say he's quite a good footballer and he supposedly supports Arsenal, I think, he talks as if...
hate him even more.
Yeah, but
he tweets
fan,
like a guy who doesn't understand football.
No.
Right? And the half-time whistle went, and he tweets out this ridiculous picture of him going like this, right? At what looks like a pub table, but at which there is no drink in front of him, right? Yeah. So he's trying to be sort of man of the people. He's wearing an England shirt. He's got his hands like this, and he goes, brilliant first half, great assist by Sterling, and goal by Harry Kane. And it's like... We don't call it an assist. I mean, I know that some people in sport do, but, as a sort of average... As an average,
The punter in the pub will not
Male and female fan of football. You don't say, wasn't that a great assist,
Well, Kev would never say that about Fulham. Never.
Actually, we do pass, but always sideways and backwards.
Excellent. Which is what England used to do. Now they've apparently learned how to pass it forward.
But what did you say when they narrowly won Batley and Spen? So I've never understood particularly what football's coming home actually means. Mm. But it becomes even more meaningless when he goes, Labour's coming home.
Yeah.
What? Where? Where to? Exactly. Where did it go?
Palestine.
Where did it go? Palestine. Palestine. The Gaza Strip.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. The Hindu Kush.
Labour's coming home.
Yeah, he doesn't. Come this on. Is the point. He keeps. He's whoever he's got giving him this advice, he has to keep getting new people in because he has to keep firing them. But he doesn't seem to have any idea of his own kind of. Just ludicrous, what's the word?
Separation from the rest of us.
Well, yeah, but it's this kind of tone deafness that he seems to have.
He's never seen a fence he doesn't like,
hasn't. And then just to sort of make matters worse, at full time, he sends out a different picture from the same pub.
Oh, yeah,
right?
I saw this one,
this time he's got a pint of beer in front, because they obviously went, put any beer. Yeah.
You're not quite man of the people
And also somebody said, obviously, do you remember that last pub we took a picture of him in after he got kicked out of the one in Bath? And everyone said, oh, look, the pint's not been touched, right? So guess what? This one, half full.
I bet he didn't drink it either.
Looks like he was drinking. But so basically, but it's also surrounded by all these apparatchiks who clearly don't watch football. They're all these kind of,
Or drink pints in pubs.
No, some socialist wonks, for want of a better word, And here they all are. Now, that would have been bad enough. But then, yesterday, after Boris's great sort of Freedom Day speech, he comes out and goes... Well, it would be very, very reckless for Boris
to drop all restrictions.
I think we should keep wearing masks.
So he's in a pub, jumping up and down with no mask on.
I don't know. Going on.
Blank.
He's the inheritor of a great Labour tradition there, though, because...
What, two-facedness?
All Labour leaders have to sort of pretend that they're kind of a bit working class of the people. So Harold Wilson, when in public, was always seen with a pint in his pipe.
Yes.
Away from the public, all he ever drank was expensive cognac and priceless Cuban cigars.
Yeah.
Complete fraudulent.
And did he not also have that guy who made the raincoats in his pocket, the I can't remember his name, but there was some kind of jiggle.
Yeah, well, he had his signature ring.
Yeah, exactly, right.
But I mean, so Labour leaders in particular, but Tory leaders do it.
Well,
as well.
Tony Blair did it, didn't he?
Yeah, they always try to be down.
He was at a Newcastle match before he was born.
Yeah, they try to be down.
Then he's seen Jackie Milburn play.
Yeah,
in Newcastle,
and David Cameron, of course, a big Aston Villa supporter.
Yeah. Well, I had a lunch with David Cameron. It was just the two of us, and it was the most cringing thing ever because he'd obviously read up on notes about about
briefing paper.
What is she like? Any case, so she likes football. She supports West Ham, and you could literally see him go. So West Ham. So Trevor Brooking.
Yes.
Bobby Moore, it was like, oh, for God's sake!
Yes.
You're not convincing anyone.
Unbelievable! It really. They should stay away from two things: humour and football. You know, anything else they can want to talk about, that's fine. But you know, otherwise, don't try and make any jokes, and don't try and pretend you know anything about football.
The hired help, stay away from the hired help as well.
And the hired help, and also don't hire the ones that you're helping, as it were. Words to that effect.
Stay away from the help you hired.
Exactly. Right, number two for you, Dawn.
Oh, gosh, is it me again?
We've come around already.
Okay, I know.
Goes fast.
I'm going to go, actually, who am I going to go for this one? I'm going to go for, it's a bit difficult this one because it's a Twitter hate mob.
Hmm.
Which is a bit all-encompassing of basically most people on Twitter.
Yes, yes.
But this is linked to the football.
Oh, yes.
Which is going on, evidently. Mm. We need to get Keir Starmer in on this one. This is a primary school was forced to suspend its Twitter account after parents labelled a fun football video showing pupils performing the Vindaloo song.
Yes.
Remember the Vindaloo?
I remember. Well, I saw the video, actually. Because it got passed around a lot, didn't it? It was one of those things that went viral.
Kids as young as five painted their faces, St George's flag, dressed up, decorated the classroom.
What, you mean had some fun?
Had some fun.
Yeah.
I know.
And we're pushing each other around, apparently people objected to.
This is Fleet Street Primary School in Fleetwood.
Right.
It's a little 3-minute video, a little kid singing to Fat Les's chart hit Vindaloo, supporting their national team, which is fine in Wales or Scotland, in English
apparently
it's quite clearly racist.
Yes, of course.
And they said, parents, supposedly said, this is disgusting. These children are being pressed to participate by the school. I have a 7-year-old child. I absolutely not want her to be exposed to this kind of mindless hooliganism.
What?
They're singing a song supporting their national side. And another one, this one's
And they're
great.
Sort of marching, because it's that kind of song,
it's
isn't it?
It's a song, whether you watch the video clip.
Yeah, yeah.
And another one said, it's a sea of aggressive white faces.
Oh, dear.
Because
old are they?
They're five. they're face painted with the flag of St. George.
I mean, I was slightly puzzled by this one, because I was alerted to this yesterday, and I went to find the Twitter account, and it was still there.
Yeah,
because, so apparently it was reinstated.
Because,
right?
they had the Twitter parlor. So Twitter parlor, my name is The Planks, by the way, not the school. The school did a brilliant job.
No, the school were great. We liked
the school. They were trying to teach the kids about how to put a video together and, you know, and all that sort of thing.
Also, it looked quite fun, by the way.
They were having fun, you know? Mike.
I mean, these are kids who have been locked away in their houses for most of the year.
Yeah, quite. And sort of like, you know, one of them will cough and they'll all be sent home again now. But it's like, you know, and a lot of parents are sensible parents. So no, kids are having fun. They enjoyed it. So the school then put it back up there again.
Right.
So the school have done brilliantly. But it's the idiot parents who created this pile on.
But how can you find something offensive about 5-year-olds running around singing,
face painted, singing, supporting the England squad?
I know. You do wonder,
it's just,
don't you?
Honestly, it was just so. And little kids were having, as you said, Mike, they've had such a hard time over the past year, 15 months.
Right.
It was so, so much fun. And so, yeah, the trolls that did that, absolutely.
But isn't this also, it's a kind of, it's a sort of examination, isn't it, of where we now are? Because we were talking about masks and all that before, where people are kind of take one side or the other.
Yeah.
And you mustn't do that. And so where did all these people come from who keep wanting to tell us what to do? What's wrong with it?
Confected outrage. Yeah. All the time looking for something.
But
to
everything is divisive now, from Brexit to masks to the whole taking the knee before football games to,
that's,
you know,
that's
flags,
going very quick these days,
statues.
Isn't it? I mean, I don't think they barely touched the knee on the ground before they're up
again.
But they're not going to get away with that. You know, England are just about going to get away with it because they're doing very well.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of overshadowed. But if you heard, even in Rome, you could hear the boos.
Oh, yeah.
And up and down the country, pubs and venues where people went to watch it on TV, the boos were cacophonous.
Because people are not being told not to boo.
The fans hate the taking of the knee. money. Yeah, they hate the players so grovelling to Black Lives Matter. And the Premier League and the other leagues, when they launch the season, the new season next month, are going to find out exactly what the fans think.
Yeah, no, I agree
think.
With that. Yeah. Absolutely right. Coming up, my second nomination
God,
is...
God, you only had two?
I've only had one.
Bloody hell.
We're only on the second one, yeah.
It's a four-hour special today.
It's a long... There's going to be a lot of arguing later. We're going north of the border, but not to name anybody from the SNP for a change. This is now about a school in Edinburgh called James Gillespie's High School, which apparently has quite a sort of track record. It was supposedly the place where the Prime of Miss Jean Brodie was based. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Yeah.
And the book.
Maggie Smith.
That's right. Well, there's a bloke called Alan Crosby there, who is now called the curriculum leader for English. Apparently that's what they call teachers.
Teachers.
He's an English teacher.
That's what a primary school teacher.
Curriculum leader for English, right? Oh, he's decided that he doesn't think it's a very good idea to actually have classic books that the kids read, like To Kill a Mockingbird and Of Mice and Men. Right? Yeah. Now, To Kill a Mockingbird, aside from anything else, has been already sort of created and represented by almost every single person in the world. I mean, it's probably one of the most read books.
It is one of them. It's on pretty much every curriculum throughout the world.
And it was actually awarded the book that most people who were asked the question thought was the best book they'd ever read, right? And it is a fantastic book. And it is, of course, written in the 1960s. It's Harper Lee. I mean, there's so much interesting stuff around the book that we could talk about.
But only book she ever wrote, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Until she wrote a follow-up about 2 years
ago. And somebody found this... Yeah, somebody found that she'd written a follow-up. And I think they did they not find it rather than...
I'm not sure, but it came out a couple of years ago.
But it came out, yeah. And I mean, the idea is that, you know, they've decided that they don't want people to read these books on the basis that they represent racism somehow old-fashionedly, and they think that it's wrong. Now, surely the point about reading books is that they were written at a particular time, or they were written about a particular time. And what they're going to actually do now is replace the books, right, with modern books.
Yeah. Well, like Meghan Markle's The Bench.
Well, The Bench unfortunately can't be part of the new curriculum because it's actually not. No, they're getting one called The Hate You Give. Where it has the word "you" spelt with a "u,"
that's literally
right.
God,
so that's good, isn't it, for English
make
students?
It stop.
And it's written by somebody called Angie Thomas, and it's in a book written in response to the 2009 police shooting of Oscar Grant. I don't know. I've never heard of that. Never heard of him.
R.I.P. Oscar.
But here's the word that they want this is the word they want to decolonize the curriculum.
Of course.
Oh.
You know, with greater emphasis on material that better represents the full range of human experience. I mean, if I was learning English, that's not the sort of sentence I would want to read. So, isn't it ridiculous?
So, in other words, you take one of the great pioneering anti-racist works of literature.
An inspirational book.
Yeah, the To Kill a Mockingbird, and you say, well, that's not good enough anymore.
No.
It also did happen to win the Pulitzer Prize. You know, I mean, what do they know?
I'm sure that at some point would have been... Actually, yeah, it's like watching an Oscar-nominated film.
But it's about racism in the south of America in the 1960s.
It's an amazing book.
Which is, you know, a worthy story. Told incredibly well, as is, the other one. You know, it's just absolutely beggars belief. They might as well be burning the books, mightn't they?
Hasn't that been tried in history?
It has been tried.
I think it might not have gone that well.
Didn't work out terribly well.
No.
But, I mean, this guy is a complete and utter plank. And, I mean, this is what's wrong. I think when we did a story today about how something like 70% of 16 to 34-year-olds think that we should have economics run in a socialist sort of way, this is why. Because all our kids at school are being taught by these bozos who are telling them that, you know, all old literature is wrong. Yeah. Anything written by anybody white is wrong.
Yeah.
Anybody who makes money is a bad person. Any company that's a capitalist company is bad.
It's the National Education Union just put out this report that's what they must teach kids. They're talking about teaching kids between 5 and 7 the importance of using the right pronouns. So my argument would be, how do you teach a kid correct grammar? If you say that entity over there, you know, is a non-binary, non-gender, gender fluid person, and you must address that singular entity in the plural.
Yes, like as
so
in them.
So they or them.
Right.
How do you teach?
That's not English.
It's not English.
How do you teach kids grammar
against
the backdrop of that linguistic atrocity?
How are they doing this in France, where obviously we know that certain words are either feminine or masculine?
Well, I mean, you just have to rewrite the entire French language.
Or les. I mean, how does that work?
I don't know. But, I mean, Barclays Bank got on the act this week. Have you seen the Barclays
Bank
one?
Yes, yeah. I did see that. Just get on with doing a bit of banking, I think we'd be fine.
Well, I think that there might be a letter that's slightly wrong in that phrase.
Exactly,
but
right.
Yeah, but they put out an advert, nothing to do with their financial services or how they're helping people through the pandemic, but all about misgendering customers.
Mm. Yeah, you've got to be so careful these days.
Bankers.
Bad news for the banknotes as well, isn't it? Because you've got sort of people's faces on banknotes.
And they're mostly old white folk, aren't they?
They'll have to change that, won't they? That'll be the next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Mm. I never thought of that. Crikey.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Anyway, where's your third?
Oh, my third one. Right, okay. I'm going to go for, it's another perennial favourite, I'm afraid, Sadiq Khan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good old Sadiq.
This is the, it's tying in with the football again, not that I'm enjoying the football.
The stabber's friend.
Yes.
Yeah. This might come into the equation, actually. He's put out a tweet this week that he has, 2 Euro final tickets at Wembley, obviously.
Was he touting them out?
Yeah, quite. Is, yeah, the world's worst tear. Yeah.
He sent them to TFL London.
Right, yeah. Well, I could do with the money, couldn't I? Considering what it's done
to it.
Any case, he's saying that basically, provided you can prove that you've had double jabs, you're in a chance of winning these 2 tickets from him.
That's ridiculous.
It's not.
Also, one, he shouldn't be running a ticket lottery.
No, of course he shouldn't.
It's not his job.
No.
Two young men were stabbed to death.
As 2 kids were stabbed to death in London. And it's like, where is this bloke coming from? What is he actually doing? I mean, I know around the world
he's saving lives one mask at a time.
It's literally unbelievable. I mean, I was going to actually nominate the Metropolitan Police, but maybe what I'll do is roll them into your Sadiq Khan.
Roll them into me,
because I was going to be very critical of them, not because of the fact that they still haven't seemed to put any kind of a dent in the stabbings and the crime that's going on the streets of this city, but because they started attacking football supporters on Saturday night who were out celebrating England beating Ukraine 4-0, getting into the semi-final for the first time in a long
25
time
years.
Into the Euro, at Wembley, I think, since 66, isn't it, right? And, I mean, I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there could be some drunks who were probably a little bit feisty, but I don't think steaming in en masse, which is what the police did, is the way to do it.
Funny enough, I don't really remember them doing that, the Black Lives Matter who are that climate change mob?
Oh, Extinction Rebellion. I know, they skateboard around them.
Yeah, skateboard and do a nice little TikTok dance with them.
Yeah. But so they love cracking the heads of football fans. Mm. And I'm afraid by the time you see this, you might not have actually, it might not have actually happened yet. But Wednesday night, if England win, will be the same. Up and down the country, there'll be people out in the streets, partying, drinking, dancing, singing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the grounds supposedly for the police to steam in were that they were breaking COVID rules, right? Oh, really?
Okay.
Well, so now that we're going to do away with all of those in 2 weeks, are we going to see the cops go, come on, one last go, guys, one last go, crack with a bat?
Probably.
They just need to take a step back.
But, you know, if we're talking about breaking COVID rules, they didn't investigate Matt Hancock, did they?
No, because that was retrospective.
Right,
which slightly puzzled me on the grounds that, and I think I said this to Kevin.
Most criminal
investigations are about something that happened before.
Yeah. So you could
investigate them live as they happen.
No,
As you attack this man, I'm the police officer. I will be watching.
I will be investigating you.
I could literally murder Kev this afternoon. Yeah. No one finds out about it till tomorrow. Yeah. And I go, well...
But under the police system. Under the police system, the cops will actually be there.
Maybe they're working on the new sort of TARDIS police box where they can go into the future and start investigating crimes that haven't happened yet.
It's just crazy.
Did you just love the TARDIS?
Matt Hancock's offence was so much, in terms of crime, was so much worse than the whistleblower who, quite rightly, as a public service, released to the Sun that CCTV footage.
Imagine if he hadn't
that
done that.
Public service.
Yeah.
Look what's happened since.
Oh, God, absolutely. We've actually got someone who knows what they're doing.
If we'd never known about that, right, Hancock would still be there. We would not have had that press conference yesterday. Mm. We would not have had somebody like Sajid Javid saying, you know, we need to look after everybody's health, not just people with COVID. And we wouldn't probably
They're chasing. They're trying to find the person who leaked the CCTV footage of the Sun with a view to a criminal prosecution.
Ridiculous.
If they do that, there's two things are going to happen. One, he or she is going to have a fantastic whistleblower defence. I did this in the public interest.
Yeah, very much.
Quite rightly. And two, if they try to prosecute him, the media is going to go absolutely hell for leather. So if you do this, you've got to prosecute Hancock.
Yeah.
End of.
I think that's worth a George's Cross. There you go.
Yes, well, I mean, let's not get carried away. You see, I'm not in favour of handing out these awards to people all the time. You know, people should be able to go through their life.
Only because you'll never win one.
Yeah, all right, well, that may well be true. Although it's not, actually.
Arise, Sir O'Sullivan.
Because I have already won an award, or several awards, actually, but I won't bore you with that. But the point is this, you know, you should not be getting an award for doing what you're meant to do.
Doing your job. Yeah, I know.
Get paid, go home.
Yeah.
That's enough.
You're not a hero. You're not a hero. Going to work and getting paid for the job that you do.
I mean, if something is outstandingly unusual, like, you know, you jump into a river and save somebody's life, you didn't have to do that. That's not your job.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's very different. And I would give that person a George Cross. They're not just people who've just done their job.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that those frontline workers were admirable. But I'd stop short of saying they're absolute heroes. They're not.
Plus, the people driving buses, the people driving delivery drivers.
What about the people in supermarkets?
Yeah,
or my particular heroes, the ones that I got onto the doorstep to applaud and bang pots about, the Amazon drivers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who got us through this COVID crisis more than any other class of society.
And mine were obviously radio presenters.
Love Amazon.
Yeah. I used to go home later on, once the first lot was over, and demand that my children.
Home.
That was really unusual. Well, there was a lockdown. But, you know, I used to insist on my children clapping me as I came down the path.
Yeah,
refused to do it. They never did it. I said, what about me? I'm doing my job.
Unreasonable.
I'm doing my job. It's absolutely outrageous what's going on.
But I think it's brilliant that we don't make Jeff Bezos and that Amazon pay any tax because they're such a good company.
Well, listen, he pays plenty of tax. This is where the left get it completely wrong. He pays loads of people who then pay tax, right?
Yeah.
Who use their facilities, who pay income tax. There's corporation tax and there's income tax, right?
Tell me about it.
He doesn't live here, so he doesn't pay income tax. They pay very little corporation tax. The corporation tax is a waste of time. The tax business in this country is a disgrace, quite frankly.
Amazon pay exactly what their accountants organise them having to pay, which is a very low rate.
Right.
But most people, whether or not they were would not like any hindrances on Amazon because they're part of our lives and they were brilliant in the lockdown.
But if you think of all the people that work for Amazon and all the money that the tax man gets from what they pay in tax, it's quite a substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
And would you rather not have them here so that you don't have any of that?
Mm.
And would you banish them to Ireland, you know, so they don't have any business
here? And the left wingers hate Jeff Bezos because he's rich.
Yes.
That's it.
Exactly. That's why they hate him.
That's it.
For the same reason they hate Boris and the masks, because he's Boris and he's evil and they don't care about killing people.
Yeah, and they hate Bill Gates because he's rich and he's injected us with special bugs and he was in charge of the vaccine rollout.
I'm not really sure
about
that.
Well, they do. That is to do with that.
Who knows?
It's the hatred of rich people.
Right. So is it your final one now?
I've done three.
Sadiq Khan. Was there anything else on Sadiq Khan you wanted to mention?
No, that's it. I mean, his surname.
He hasn't been on for a while.
His surname spelled completely wrongly, but I mean, it's similar close.
I mean, it was funny when Angela Rayner mistook Sadiq Khan and Sajid Javid.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Well, they all sound alike, don't they?
Well, according to her.
Yeah, I know.
But imagine if a Tory had done that.
So racist.
I know.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Right, my third one is the British Board of Film Classification.
Yes, BBC.
Which, after the sum total of 93 complaints from snowflake parents, has reclassified a number of films, including Rocky, Flash Gordon,
Rocky,
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. They've all been moved from 8 years old, you could see them, to 12A, because parents said that these films were too offensive
what?
And
what?
Shocking
How?
For their
what?
Kids.
Rocky's also, shocking.
Yeah.
And it's shocking, the acting.
Yeah, 93 complete. 27 were about the 1980s space opera Flash Gordon.
That's a great film. I love that
film. Well, hang on a second, Mike. I don't think you've heard the details. It's Ming the Merciless.
Ming the Merciless, brilliant.
He's a racist character because he's Asian in appearance, and
he's from a comic book.
The reclassification.
He's from a foreign planet.
He's also
not to the point.
Right.
The reclassification of Rocky. So that's to do with racial stereotypes.
Is it what?
So that's why they've reclassified.
Well, he's called the Italian Stallion.
No. Ming the Destroyer.
Oh, sorry.
Is an Asian stereotype. Right. So that's why. Now,
I thought it was Rocky, Ming the Merciless.
Mercy, sorry, whatever.
Talking about now.
Ming the Merciless. That's right. I've forgotten
his name
already.
Ming the Merciful.
It's a rubbish film.
It's a great film.
I hate that.
I love
film. Reclassification.
Princess
of
Leia, I think.
The
is it?
Reclassification of Rocky is due to moderate violence.
Moderate violence. He's punching the hell out of a guy in a boxing ring.
Moderate violence. Mouthed strong language and domestic abuse.
Domestic abuse?
Yeah. I don't remember that bit.
I don't remember that bit. What, with Adrienne!
Empire Strike Back.
Which is just boring.
Reclassified for moderate violence and mild threat.
Mild threat?
I'll tell you what, the Death Star.
Look at the Elephant Man got reclassified to 12A with John Hurt. That was reclassified.
That was
reclassified for moderate threat, upsetting scenes, and injury detail. I mean, just 93 complaints, don't do it. Why do they buckle every time you get a snowflake? I was offended by this. My children were upset. Right, let's completely change the classification.
Well, maybe,
it's nonsense.
Maybe if your children are that easily upset, don't show them any films at all.
Have they seen the computer games their little darlings are playing by the way?
Yeah. I mean, 101 Dalmatians is not very nice either.
The Karate Kid got reclassified for moderate violence and drug references.
And on it goes. I mean, and this is another publicly funded organisation, that is responsible for.
Some people have got too much time on their hands.
I think they have.
Well, it's not that though, is it? It's this. As soon as somebody writes into any organisation, public funded especially, and complains that their children are upset or they were offended, this public organisation, no matter how few complaints they get, will go through the hoops to keep them happy.
Yeah.
And what they've got to do is say to these 93 snowflake parents, do one.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything about it.
Exactly.
Live with it.
Yeah.
Just get over yourselves.
Deal with it.
Maybe explain to your children what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And when, Darth Vader points to the Death Star, you could possibly tell them that it's only a story and it's not pointed at the Earth and it's not actually going to blow us away.
The kids will not have a problem with this, will they? The kids will be just watching it, enjoying a film.
Yeah. We've been talking a bit of football. I'm going to nominate the entire French football fan club, whatever it's called. Zut alors! Because apparently they were the favourites to win the Euros. I didn't know that until the French people told me. And they said they had a great team, because they have, of course, some fantastic players, right, including Kylian Mbappe. But they got horsed by Switzerland in a penalty shootout.
Yeah, I know.
Not least because
good for the Swiss.
Mbappe, missed his penalty. And he was the guy right at the end.
Mm.
And so it was like sudden death by that point. And, of course, he's one of the best players in the world. Everybody went, well, he's not going to miss, is he? And, of course, sure as fate, he did. Now, the reason I've put the French football fans into the plank of the week is that over nearly 300,000 of them have signed a petition to have the game replayed between France and Switzerland. Even though we've now moved on by two rounds, right? We're now in the semi-finals. There's only four teams left. Italy plays Spain tonight. You'll know what that result is tomorrow. And England, of course, play Denmark. So, the petition was launched by a disgruntled French fan whose name is Pierre. Right? And he's claiming, right, that the goalkeeper from Switzerland, who's a guy called Jan Sommer, apparently saved the penalty, but because he moved beforehand, that the game therefore should never have been called and it should have been retaken. And so now they want to replay the whole game.
Yeah, well, it's not going to happen, is it? Anyway, no. I wouldn't go for it if I was France, because I reckon Switzerland would beat them again.
Why would you want to submit yourself to a humiliation twice over?
Well, really not a good idea. No.
Wait for it. When the Swiss have already rolled you over once.
Very good.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. The Swiss are already out, though. The Swiss aren't even in it anymore.
Yeah, I know, that's what
they
I mean.
Want to replay
know,
the so, game.
Exactly.
What's the point?
Well, it's pointless.
I think there is a point. Here's what it read, right? The original petition said this. During the penalty shootout of the France v Switzerland match, goalkeeper Sommer was not on his line ahead of Mbappe's shot. We ask that Switzerland's qualification is cancelled so that the match can be replayed. Sport must be played within the rules, and that evening the rules were not respected.
But this was a penalty.
Switzerland are out.
Yeah, exactly.
This was a penalty, so everyone was actually looking at that particular area of the pitch, including, you think, the officials who might have noticed.
Also, as you know well, it's a very sort of weird rule, isn't it? Because goalkeepers can be very good at not moving or not looking like they're moving, but they are actually moving, or not being quite on the line. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. It swings and roundabouts. You know, you might win one penalty shootout, you lose the next one.
But the French would be having a riot about it next, won't they? They'd be sitting fast to cars.
They'd be sitting fast to tyres. You know,
to put on yellow jackets.
Blockade.
Replay the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Some bloke will drive a load of manure into the mayor's office in Lyon or something.
I love French cops. I have a sort of niece who lives that they live. The family lives in Bordeaux, and they were out. She's just sort of their sort of school prom, and they went to some bar afterwards and got a bit rowdy. And when they came out, the police were waiting, and it was just a bunch of kids, and they tear gassed them.
love a punch up. Right, so we have reached the final nine. Now we've got to carry somebody over.
Wow, that went fast.
I think it's going to have
to
be.
I've been here a year.
I think it's going to have to be Harry and Meghan again, isn't it? Because Harry came over see
on the statue
and behaved in quite a bizarre
way. I forgot to mention the statue, actually.
We should have got the sculpture of the statue.
Well, we can have the sculpture of the statue in if you like. I'm going to go with Harry and Meghan because, of course, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why they're in it this week. But he left straight away again.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the problem of him staying about for a while to see some of his relatives? What is
none of them like him?
He doesn't like him, and they ask him to leave.
Also, for a man who wants to save the planet, right, he gets into his very big Cadillac Escalade in Montecito, drives quite a long way to LAX, gets on a huge plane, gas-guzzling jumbo of some kind, flies across to London, goes into self-isolation after being driven in another big car to Windsor. I don't know how much all of that cost, but it probably cost us quite a fair deal.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
You know, and he's got security, you know, she's been banging on about something or other this week. I can't remember what it was.
Shortened the life of the planet a bit as well.
He has shortened the life of the planet a bit. Also, they've been told by the people they're trying to copyright the name Archiewell with this week.
I knew there was something.
They don't want to classify it as an entertainment company.
No, they're trying to make out.
The American authorities say, basically, this is an entertainment
company. It's an entertainment company. So if they have to admit that, then it's no longer a charity.
Exactly.
They might have to pay a bit more tax. They might have to pay a bit more tax as well, if that's the case.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the day when he works out, or somebody tells him, that actually, now that you live in America, you are liable for tax. Living in America as you do. So how much have you got in the bank exactly? How much do you get paid for your work that you do? He's going to have to hand over millions.
Well, he's not going to pay an American tax.
No, absolutely.
He can't.
No. You and I know that, Mike.
Absolutely right. Although we know people who tried to do it and not pay it, and they got caught out.
I did my best, but it didn't work out.
So here's the thing, right? We get Dawn Neeson, we get Kevin O'Sullivan back because they were the dream team. They were the people that held it all together when we couldn't get anybody into the building in the early part of this year. January, February, March, April. I think it was up until May. We couldn't really do it with anybody else. So we got them in because we knew they were reliable. We knew that they were good. We knew that they were opinionated and they wouldn't be shy in naming planks. And that's why they are the longest running duo on Plank of the Week. We got them in this week, but something went wrong. We don't quite know what, but right at the end, as we recorded the end bit, it's gone. It's disappeared. Now, I'm not blaming them, because it might not be their fault. It might not be anybody's fault. It might just be one of those vagaries of, you know, commercial activity. It might just be somebody cyber attacked us. It might just be that something went wrong in the electronic editing. We can't be sure. But what I can say for sure, absolutely for sure, is that we all did agree that there's only one plank this week. And funnily enough, it's actually been, I would say, augmented by his behaviour since we recorded the original bit of Plank of the Week. And it is, of course, the man himself, Captain Hindsight, the leader of Her Majesty's opposition. His name is Sir Keir Starmer. So, Sir Keir, keep it up. You are the plank of the week. And if this carries on like this, you might even become the plank of the year. Catch us next time. This is Talk Radio TV.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.